everyone? How's everyone doing today? All right, so just welcome to Haven Church. Welcome online viewers, you know. So we serve a living God, right? Our God's alive. He's here today. He's with us today. Let's stand on up and let's worship his name.
You call a salve of the death into your freedom. Our chains are gone. No weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We've overcome. Your glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken, we will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Your glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken, we will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name.
Yeah.
And we declare your name. Exalted One, your name is higher. You stand alone, our strong defender. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power. Exalted One, your name is higher. You stand alone, our strong defender. Above you there's no other. 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 Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name.
Put your hands together.
Don't be afraid, it won't fall off.
Glory.
living for the glory of the risen
Heavenly Father, just as you move through this place and wherever we are right now, I just pray that you'll just touch our hearts and our minds in a way. A lot of stuff's gone on this week. That's been a crazy week for many of us. It's been a life-changing week for many of us, some in good ways and some in the most horrific ways that we can imagine. Help us just to recognize that that no matter what's going on, that you've got it. You've got us. And so, God, right now, I just ask that you just wrap your arms around everyone in the sound of my voice, that you would just encourage us with your presence, with your love. But more importantly, God, that you will just teach us to know that everything that the world offers, it's there, but Jesus is better. And may we just serve you and love you in ways that we, and experience you in ways that we may never have thought we could. So at this time, God, minister to us in a way that we may never have been before and make your presence so real. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. What I want you to do is just say hello to those around you, and then our children can head to our Sunday school, our Shoreline Ministry.
See, hey, I had enough voice for that. I always do. Always get enough for a time. Thanks. All right, good morning, everyone. How you doing today? If I sound a little bit bassy, I'm trying to fight off that weird kind of spring cold thing, but we're glad that I'm able to stand up here, that God gave me enough breath to stand up here, and we're also glad that everyone is here. Welcome to church online. Everybody say welcome. Say welcome to those around you. Say welcome. Say hi, Jack. Don't do that on an airplane. Okay. You got it. There we go. Okay. We are glad that you are here, and we're glad that the weather is awesome outside. Am I right? It seems kind of nicer, going to get nicer, and we're hoping for that. But if you're visiting with us, welcome. We just want you to relax. If this is the first time or you've been here a couple times and haven't received a small gift that we have for you, please, by all means, go ahead, fill out that card, and we'll make sure you get that. And also, if you want to get part of our informational part, you can fill that out. We'll also get you, it gives you an opportunity to go ahead and be on our prayer chain. You can be on that. You can be on just our information. And this year, who knows, it may snow in July. So inclement weather, we'll go ahead and ask, you know, connect with you that way. Today we want to look at some of our announcements. We have several of them. Tuesday Women's Study. This week will be April 23rd instead of Tuesday. I wanted you to know that. And if you have any questions, ask Joanna Shea. If you want to become a member, we're going to be doing a Haven 101 session on May the 20th, Sunday, May the 20th. You can look for other kinds of information. There's a card meeting after church tonight. I do want to share this. Revive, Reconnect, and Renew, A Deeper Life Crusade. This is at Northeast United Methodist Church. A couple people who are very instrumental as formative in my life and my spiritual development, Reverend John Hobbs and Kenny Davis. They're beginning, I believe, tonight. They're doing something different this year. They're going to share a little bit, and they're going to ask other praise teams and other pastors to be part of that. On Wednesday night, the last night of the service, our worship team will be leading worship, and then I will be speaking. So it'll be the first time I've spoken at church since probably my very first sermon. 20, whatever years have passed, maybe 30 since that time. So I'm going to get a chance to step back in the area where I cut my teeth, and they help shape them, I guess, or whatever. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you come out and support our worship team and connect to God and everything else. All right. May the 3rd, you can see Dining for Women. It's their Cinco de Mayo that they have. If you have any other information, Judy's information is in there. Haven Youth, a new event. I'm going to ask Melinda, will you show that video that we're going to show? And this will be Friday, June 22nd. Makes you wish you were a youth, right? Except for that snake thing. I'm done with that snake at the beginning. Ice cream I like, snake I don't. All right. So if you have other information, you can see that they're going to be team building, zip lining, running a giant swing, swimming, and staying away from snakes, right? From 6 to 12. And if you have any other information, you can get hold of Terry Hollis or Jennifer Lagullo for more information. All right. So a couple things. You have this in your... Yes. Okay. All right, so there's clipboards that we can start to pass those around if you would, if you want to go ahead and be part of that event. Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, a couple other things. You can see right here you have a LuLaRoe. Is that how you say it? All right. I don't wear leggings, and you're all glad for that. But you can see they're going to have this fundraiser here at Haven Community Church, and it's going to help support the mission. Love for you to pass that on to other people. You come, it'll be right out here, right? Lisa, where are you? Okay, there's going to be a trailer out front, so love for you to come on out. Men's shirts. I don't know, there was some discussion about getting John White in a pair of leggings with Haiti flags on them, but I don't know. So... okay, but make sure you mark the calendar to do that. We are underway, and we're beginning with travel costs, which also go ahead and show our chain. Here's our chain, and we said that if you want to contribute weekly, we're going to go ahead and have people out with baskets if you'd like to contribute to that. Emma Gale is now showing us. Go ahead, Emma Gale. You can see right here. She is putting up the how far we've gotten. So we're not to Richmond, Virginia yet, okay? So we got a long way to go. If you'd like to help contribute to that, there will be some people with baskets at the door, and you can contribute any amount, and it will go to the general team as well. So what? $10 a chain, right? Is that what it is, $10 a chain? So $10 a chain. So we got a lot of chains, and we'd love to get over there. Or else there's a lot of swimming and a lot of walking. What? Oh, yeah, you can buy 400 chains if you want. It doesn't matter to me. That'll get us. How many chains are there, John? Okay, so if you want to buy 14, 10 chains, Go for it. I'm all glad with it. So, but thank you for all your support, and you can continue support here. And also, if you want to contribute to the Haiti trip, you can do so online, but you can also do for the chains right here. That would be great. All right, so we have a couple different fundraisers there. And then Community Kitchen, there also is another clipboard on sign-up sheet that is passing around. And if you'd like to connect and help with that, the date is May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. All right. Sure, that's what they call it now. I know it from Facebook, okay? So, all right. Couple other things that we have here. Joanna Shea has asked for prayer for Donnie and rehab, for her cousin Bruce, who health and healing, and for cousin Rob, health and healing. Nancy has asked for prayers for Doug Reimuller for healing. Joanne Edwards has asked for family of Jenna Anderson, who passed away this week. Let's see. Prayers for the family of Lanny Scott. Lanny was one of the first parishioners I ever served, and always a jovial, happy guy, and he passed away very suddenly. Prayers also for Jake and Kate Allen, and Jake's grandmother passed away this weekend. We also want to lift Ginny and the whole family up in their prayers, as Ginny's daughter passed away very suddenly this week. And they're here with us today, and we definitely want to surround them with love and care. And these are the times that nothing makes sense for the daughters, for the sisters, for Ginny, and anybody. So we just want to surround them with prayers. And I believe the service is Tuesday at Hicks at 6 o'clock in the evening. All right, so if you'd like to come out, please go ahead and do so as we support them in your prayers. Do we have others to add briefly? Yes, Rachel. Okay, so Jordan, please pray for Jordan and Natalie. We mentioned last week how Natalie and Joe, her brother, were in a severe accident. Natalie's going through her own surgeries and own surgeries on her ankle and other kinds of things. The good thing is the baby's fine, but now Jordan has to go back for chemotherapy again. So that's her husband. So we want to continue to lift this family, who just seems like they've had one thing and then the next all the way through this. Did I see another hand over here? Yes, go ahead, Bob. Okay.
Lunch and drinks will be
provided. Okay, Christmas in April, 8 o'clock here. 8 o'clock here if you want to help out. Others? Yes. Irene Moore? Pray for Irene Moore. She has to go for a biopsy for breast cancer. So we'll lift up. Yes. Excuse me? Ricky Wilson, yes, we want to lift that up, definitely. And I want to get the name right here. Andrew Brunson is the pastor who is in Turkey and is facing trial. He's lived there for 23 years. And when there was like a coup to overthrow the government, they associated him with it. He had nothing to do with it, from what everybody says. But please pray for him as he's already lost 50 pounds from being in prison. And so his daughter is waiting to get married until he gets out. So the family's lived there, like I said, for 23 years doing ministry. And he got brought into this. Go ahead.
My granddaughter, Sharon, they found some abnormal cells.
Okay. Okay, so for June's granddaughter, Sharon, she's had some abnormal cells, and they want to check, do some other tests and checking. All right, anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, and it seems like we do this all the time, and there are needs. There are situations. There are struggles. Sometimes it's hard in the midst of life to just believe that you're better when we see so much hurt, so much pain, so much loss, so much destruction, whatever it may be. And so God, during this time, heal our hearts, number one, because it seems like every action starts with where our hearts relate. Help us to really, 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 really trust that you've got it all under control, because sometimes our lives seem like they're spinning out of control. And so, God, whether it's surgeries or whether it's a young family that seems to have one challenge after the next, no matter what seems to occur, they take feels like two steps up and one step back. Let them know that you're there, ever present, and that you're going to help them. For others who the tragedy of death has struck so randomly, so quickly, Help us to just begin to search our hearts and to heal. It doesn't happen overnight, God, but that's why you came in the first place. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You said, I am the resurrection and the life. God, let us just put our trust in that. For all those who are dealing with cancer and tests and other struggles, God, help us to recognize you're better, you're greater than all this. God, for us who life may just seem like it's rolling along right now, I just pray that we won't forget you in the goodness of life. That we won't forget that you're very present and that you love us. And we won't forget that we need to stop and praise you. And God, when we mess up, that we'll have repentant hearts, but that we'll also be strengthened by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for everybody in the sound of my voice today, because everybody in the sound of my voice and those who aren't even listening need Jesus. God, just minister yourself. Make yourself more real to us here today. We love you. So God, I just want you to do what you do with these gifts and tithes. Thank you for the giver and the tither that makes your ministry here and around the world possible. So God, here we are. Thank you for blessing us. May you multiply and use these gifts to further your kingdom, not only here, but around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. Your good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways, perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways, perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, is love so undeniable? I can hardly speak, and peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still and to love, love, love. Your good, good Father, it's who you are,
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good.
Right. How many feel like after this week you need a breath of fresh air? I just need to. All right. So we're glad that you're here. If you're joining with us today, we are in week 3 of our series Fresh Air, which is based off of the book by Pastor Chris Hodges. It's really good. I like it, but I don't like it. If anybody's with me, because it's one that's really ministering more toward me applying and changing and doing some stuff in my life. Anybody with me who's been looking at this? Which is, I think, is always harder. I can do concepts. You give me concepts that are abstract, I can think about that all day. But when it's something that I actually have to apply to my life, remember I gave you some homework last week. I'm not going to remind you what it was, but you know, and so does God. But anyway, remember we were talking about taking time. All right, remember that? So hopefully somebody did some of that. And how many find out that when you made that commitment to do that, that other things came up that you couldn't take time or it made it a struggle to take time? So if you, Debbie, I think we still have some of these, right? Or we can get some. We may have a couple. So if you'd like to have this book, we still have an avenue for you to do that, as well as we have some small groups that you can plug into. If you missed the week or whatever, I know we do have one during the morning, Sunday mornings that people are meeting with. So we'd love for you to connect there. Our theme verse for this comes from Deuteronomy, and we're going to put it up here, and you can see right here. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you. We have a choice. Remember, that was week 1. We talked about a choice that we have. So I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses, or what we're talking about, fresh air or the doldrums. Remember, I shared the doldrums are a physical place around the equator where, because of the winds, that is just a place of just no life, no air, but sometimes storms will come, and it used to be before power boats that many sailors would get caught in there and just simply die. And it's a good illustration for us in our lives that a lot of times we're just going along and we're kind of in the doldrums of life. And so it says, now here's the choice. Now choose life. Choose life. So today I want to talk about the tude. Everybody say the tude. The tude. What we're going to talk about is attitudes. Attitudes. Has anybody ever told you your attitude stinks? All right. Anybody this week tell you your attitude stinks? You ever tell yourself, man, my attitude stinks, okay? I want to talk about attitudes because nowadays it seems like it's a time where we are in a very weird and interesting time where attitudes are there, okay? They're there. Everybody has an attitude, sometimes about absolutely nothing. This popped in my head. I forgot to announce this. I don't think I announced it. If I did, sorry. Don't get an attitude. Next week, the middle school kids are going to go have breakfast. So I was told, asked to announce that as well. So, but people do tend to have, let's go back to attitudes, speaking of middle school kids and their parents, we tend to have attitudes. Like, for instance, I read a story this week, and it was a real story that someone said, right place, wrong attitude is how they titled this blog. And they said that they were second in command in a social services agency. And one day, the receptionist asked this second in command supervisor to take a phone call from a person who was very upset about the way she was being treated and wanted to talk to the person in charge, the person in charge. And here's how the phone call went. The supervisor answers, says, "Hello, I'm so-and-so. Can I help you?" The caller angrily says, "Are you in charge there?" "Yes, ma'am. I am the most senior person here. What can I do for you?" "So you have a boss?" The person yells back. "Yes, ma'am." "I'm not talking to you. I want to talk to your supervisor." It's all in capitals. Okay. "My supervisor isn't here right now. I have the authority to help you, ma'am, if you'll just let me know what you need." Again, all capitals. "I refuse to speak to anyone but your supervisor. You are all useless." "I'm sorry, ma'am. My supervisor isn't here right now. I am in charge." "You're useless." Click. To the receptionist. "Did she tell you anything about what she needed?" Receptionist. "Yes, she needed to take anger management classes." True story, right? Sometimes life's better than jokes, all right? So it needs to take that. We are in a time where we deal with attitudes. And what it is, the scripture tells us, out of the mouth speaks the heart. And when we look at our nation, and we look at our world, and we look at our interactions, we often get caught in war and famine and natural disasters as our world is struggling. But there's other signs that we have, according to Scripture, and that tends to be our attitudes. And I want to take you to 2 Timothy, verse 3, which was just read for us by Andy. And I just want to look at it again, where Jesus says this. Where Paul says this, excuse me. "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Word, terrible, that was used by when Jesus was healing the demoniac. So it meant like a kind of out of control or even has a demonic nature to it. And it says, there are terrible times in the last days. What are the terrible times? Are there war, famine? Yeah, they're there, but look at what's said here. "People will be lovers of themselves." Anybody know anybody who loves themselves? We have a term for it. What do we call it? Narcissism, don't we? "Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money." Anybody know who loves money more than anything? "Boastful." You know anybody who talks about themselves and about just how awesome they are? I've met people in the church who do that and say, "I do so much for God. Let me tell you what I did this week." All right? "Abusive." Abuse is at record highs in many ways. "Disobedient to their parents." And then it goes into a list of some uns here. "They're ungrateful, unholy, without love or unloving, and unforgiving." You see, there's what we look at is this is a condition of a heart. The actions are coming from what's going on in the heart in our world today. So what I want to do to begin this message today is I want to take time and take this part of the slide right here, this part of the scripture, and I want to talk about some of the uns that we have. All right, so we want to look at this attitude at the end, this attitude in the end times. And some people may wonder, are we in the end times? You know, what I see is we are the first time in history where every single thing is being fulfilled right now that we can. So we're somewhere in there if we believe in the sign of the times in the scripture. So what I want to look at is these uns. Are you ready? Here we go. So let's look at the first one, ungrateful. Ungrateful. We are often, as we look around us, we see greed to an all-time high, don't we? That it's never enough. We want, and then we have, and then we want more. And we want, and then we have, and then we want even more. You know, I was just thinking about times. I remember when I was younger wanting a Sony Walkman. And that was one where you put a cassette tape in, and you had to have a pencil with you somewhere, right? Why did you need the pencil? Get winded up when that tape got caught. Some of the younger people are like, what is a cassette tape? Okay, it's kind of like an MP3, but in your hand, and it's horrible. Okay, so, and then if you left them out in the sun in your car, they'd warp, right? Remember that? Or some of you are older and remember 8-tracks. Anybody remember cruising with the 8-track where you're listening to a song and then click up, right? And the only way you could go up was click up, click up, click up. Google it, all right? I had to listen, thanks to my parents. Jill and I had to listen to Barry Manilow live for 2 hours going to see my grandmother. And occasionally we would have Bee Gees, okay? And then Dad got a 8-track stereo recorder, and we got WSTW, the same songs all the time. It was a wonderful, wonderful trip. So if you want me to sing Looks Like We Made It, I can do it with the best of them. And Mandy, you name it, okay? Anyway, I digress. You know, so we live in this time where we are ungrateful. Or how many of you remember when we graduated from the cassette tape version to the CD version? And if you, it had a little clip that you would put in there, or you would put it like in kind of like a shoulder satchel and click it in, but you had to move very slowly or else it would skip, right? You'd be like, you couldn't hit, and then, you know, you're like, okay? So then they came out with ones that kind of worked a little bit better and you thought you were good. I brought mine at Ames, or as some people translate it, Ames's, okay? So just let you know. It's very interesting because we exist in that choice. Now we have, you good, Chris?
Vinyl?
Oh, I'm not even going, I'm too young for that, Chris. So we used to call them records, okay? I remember having those. Yeah, remember you had the little thing you put in it. Anyway, and so when people go back and say, oh, vinyl's good, I'm like, no, it's not. Anybody who dealt with records is like, no, it's great having it all on my phone. So as we look, there are so many times, like I remember getting one iPhone, and it was great. And guess what? Then they bring another one out, and I want that one. And then I remember having one computer, and then I want this one. We want more. We want more. We want more. We want different. We want new. That's why advertising always talks about new and improved. And it makes us say, I need it. I want it. And so we're ungrateful for where we are. There was a book written called Progress Paradox. And it made a statement in that book that says that we're better off now, but we're getting worse off than we were. The whole statement is that because we have more, it's actually causing us to be less better than we once were. And they talk about this situation, for instance, that, and they call it choice anxiety, that we head down the road, we have too many choices in life. So after you leave here, you have about 50, 60 places within this community where you could go ahead and have lunch or shop or do whatever. That you have, I remember Bruce Springsteen back in the 90s had a song called 57 Channels and Nothing On. Now we have 100 or 700 channels and still nothing on. Remember when there was like two, 11 and 13 in Baltimore, or 3, 6 and 10 out of Philadelphia. And then occasionally you could go to channel 48 or channel 45 and see Captain Chesapeake. Is there for Captain Chesapeake? Right? And we would watch Captain Chesapeake. Guess what? If I put Captain Chesapeake on for my kids or Captain Kangaroo or any of that, nobody's gonna watch it now because we'll say there's nothing on. So we have too many choices in life. We have choice anxiety. That's the first one. The next one is unholy. Unholy. We make choices that are damaging and polluting to our hearts. You see, God, here's the good thing. God is forgiving. Okay, hear me in that. No matter what we do, God is a forgiving God, and he loves us immensely. But yet, we live in a time where we carry around with us unconfessed sin. That there's stuff in our lives that I'd say, if we were all honest, that many of us have some part of our life that is unholy. And we've lost something that was a great part of the early church called accountability. We've lost an ability to be accountable to each other and that way to be accountable to God. And often what we will do is we'll justify our lives in any way, or we'll just say, I did it, and because God is loving, then guess what? He's all about restoring. But instead, there needs to be repentance that's part of that equation that we don't have. Matter of fact, we don't even like the term sin anymore. That it's just what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. And so it ends up with an unholy attitude that we have that people don't like. I don't like if somebody tells me that something I'm doing is not right. And according to Scripture, we live in this area where we are not only ungrateful, but we live unholy. And what it does is it hurts us and our relationship with God more than anything else. We're unloving. Unloving. Not real love. I did some research, and one of the things that's been interesting for the that I found out that violent crime has risen and the homicide has risen by more than 20% in the last 2 years. And this is after 30 straight years of decline that we began to start to have. 1990, I think, was the all-time high. But we're starting to see violent crime, and the murder rate is driven by increase in cases. But it's still, and people are saying, okay, well, at least it's well below historic highs. But still, it's there. It's still there. And we hear some of the most horrendous stories of violent crime that exist in our world today. All you have to do is turn on the TV and you see how people just don't love each other. If we've gotten to a point in life where if we don't agree theologically, where we don't agree philosophically, where we don't agree politically, then you are my enemy. And I must hate you because you don't see things the way I do. We can't come to a point where we agree. We say, well, we'll just agree to disagree, but then we'll hate, literally hate the person. Some of the hatred that is passed on our televisions and in our social media and in all kinds of other things when life doesn't work out for us is increasing the disease of our heart of not loving. We don't see people as people created in the image of God. We see them as either you're with me or against me. And that's a bad way to live in our world, a bad way to live in our world. We also have pastors that would rather fill seats than rather speak gospel truth. And so we have ways that we portray ministry. And guess what? If the gospel is preached properly, we should all be offended by the gospel. Because it's offensive that my sin nailed Jesus to the cross. And in that pattern, that there's things in my life that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, I can't look down my nose at people. But I also cannot go ahead and forget the board in my eye and point out the speck of sawdust in someone else's. We must go ahead and recognize that love is a part there, but love doesn't excuse action and behavior. Another un. This is a big one. I thought about doing a whole series again on this. Unforgiveness. I've done several of those over the years, but this is a big one. Unforgiveness occurs in our heart. And often we hold unforgiveness to punish the person. I'm never talking to you again. You're done. The fact is, it punishes us. I was thinking back this week as an early pastor. I did a funeral service for a man, and he had a wife and two children, a son and a daughter. The son came up and was talking with the mother, and I said something about the daughter, and she said, she will not be sitting with us if she comes at all. I said, oh, okay. And I knew better not to ask. I knew better than to ask the church historian who would fill me in, right? The person who had been around long enough. And I began to ask what happened. And every person who knew the family said, I don't know what happened. I don't think they even know what happened, but they haven't talked in 20, 30 years. Unforgiveness. Well, it has an interesting story because this lady would speak very highly of her son. And then after the funeral was over, the son pulled his mother inside and said, "You're wrong. If dad's funeral doesn't show you," and they had the son and her sitting in the chairs, and the daughter was toward the back because the mother didn't want her there. And the son said, "You're wrong, Mom. You're wrong. You need to forgive, and you need to allow her there." And she ended up cutting off her son. And she has no relationship with any of her children, to the last time I heard. Unforgiveness, it's not hurting them, it's hurting her. It's hurting her time and time again. I've had people who said they aren't going to come into the same church building as someone else because of something someone said or did to them in the context of work, that it didn't go their way. And everybody has I've always heard, and I believe it more than ever before, there's three sides: your side, my side, and the truth. And that's what you find out in any relationship, because perception is reality. Wherever we are, how we perceive that is reality. And there are people who honestly step away from the church where there's supposed to be unity worshiping God, or they won't sit near each other because they have this unforgiveness that's in their heart. And if you really want to do a study and you really want to be convicted of the sin of unforgiveness, go ahead and pull out a Bible search and look for how many things that talk about unforgive or forgiveness in the Bible. And one of those says, you must forgive so as Christ forgave, or else God will not hear you. If you don't want to be heard by God, keep that unforgiveness in your life. That's weighty. That's very weighty. You see, Satan wants us to have unforgiveness, and this is the tood of the end times. The condition of your heart, though, is up to you and me more than we realize. It's not the situations around us that cause it. Yes, they contribute to feelings, but feelings are not the choice that we have, because we are told, "I have set before you a choice. You have life, you have death, you have the doldrums, or you have fresh air." And that's where we are. Look how Jesus put it this way. Jesus said this, the thief, when he refers to Satan, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That you can either let Satan steal your joy, or you can have life and have it to the full. It's your choice. And if you're miserable, you're letting Satan steal your joy. All right? You're letting him steal your joy, and hold that in your mind. So you're like, "Okay, Jack, I hear this. I agree with it. We got that. All I have to do is look around. But how? How do I do John 10:10? You see, all of us, I think, if we're honest, have at least one of those four uns, right? I'd say if we're honest, I'd say most of us have an un that rears its ugly head at certain times. Look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 17. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Now, when you're sick, I've had an ear infection and I have some kind of stuff going on here. So what do you do when you get sick? What do you take? Medicine. You got to take the right medicine, correct? You got to take good medicine. So what is the medicine for those uns? A cheerful heart. A cheerful heart. I mean, have you ever, remember Reader's Digest? Laughter is the what? Best medicine. Best medicine. You can be absolutely miserable when there's something that just goes ahead and happens in your life that you start to laugh. How many of you have ever been so hurt that at times something comes up and you just start laughing, and it's so therapeutic that you begin to just cry and laugh at the same time, and it's such a release of emotion? We need good medicine, and our hearts are sick, and our hearts need good medicine. Remember what I said before about Satan stealing your joy? Here we go. Look at this verse right here that we have from Nehemiah. It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're weak and you're worn out, maybe it's because you've lost the connection with the joy of the Lord. It is your strength. So the joy is the condition of your heart. The strength is the outward display. So whatever circumstance comes your way, the joy of the Lord can manifest itself outward. All right? So hang in here with me. Here we go. So let's look at four solutions or choices as we look at this, our good medicine choices. Here we go. Number one, we need to make the choice every day. Notice I put every day. And I guess I could have gone ahead and put every second. Because if you make it every day, sometimes somebody's going to come in your life in that day, and it's not going to be easy to go ahead and make that choice. But you have to make that commitment and choice to do that every moment. Your attitude, here you go. If you don't hear anything else, here it is. Your attitude will not take care of itself. Your attitude will never take care of itself. It will get worse. You see, life is a small percentage of what happens to you and a major part of how you respond to it. Major part of how you respond to it. Bad stuff happens, and I know in my life, when bad stuff happens, I get miserable. Who's with me in the misery? And sometimes I get humorously miserable. Anybody know that one? Where you just say things that make people around you laugh, but you're really meaning it in your heart? Anybody? Am I alone here? Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. So it's kind of therapeutic to get it out. I don't keep it in, but it's probably not the best practice to let yourself get that way in the first place. But you just get absolutely miserable. And as I've told you, I can't stand any of the sermon series. So you just go along with me because it's preaching to me every week. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Let us throw off. Let us throw off. That just means to chuck it, right? Just get rid of it. Throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We make choices in the race of life, and so often we get weighed down and entangled. Has anybody ever done a race? Like, you ever seen a race? Like, my kids have done track. Have you ever seen somebody who does track and puts a, like, says, I want to run this with a whole bunch of weights on me? Can I do that? No, what do you want to do? You got people who want to streamline. They want to put the tight clothing on. They want to go ahead. Nothing to cut them down, right? Because they want to go ahead. Now, can you imagine if you tied their legs together? Anybody remember, like, the three-legged races that you would have? I remember in third grade, it was at field day at Northeast Elementary School, and that was when you only got a ribbon if you won. All right, you with me here? Or you got, they give you one for second or third, but you were going for the main ribbon, the blue ribbon, right? That's what you wanted. And I remember, I don't know who the person was. I'm sorry if you're watching today, but I remember that I was going to get a ribbon. I was going to place, and I was dragging that sucker down that field. We're going, we're getting it. And I'm like, you know, like that. You have to go ahead because you had a goal to go for. And so many of us are running through life entangled, dragging stuff through life. And scripture says, throw it off. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. We have a choice to make in our life. We cannot control what is done to us. No one can ever control what is done to you. I'm going to tell you, you're going to leave here this week and some bad stuff's going to happen. I'm going to leave here this week and some people are going to annoy the packing out of you. I'm going to tell you, they might be sitting next to you right now and they might be clicking a pen and annoying the stuffing out of you, and you want to send them into glory right now. But somebody's going to mess with you as soon as you leave here. You can't control that. What you do have the power and freedom to do is how you react to it. Viktor Frankl was a man who spent time in Auschwitz. He lost his entire family, except for his sister, who escaped to Nazi Germany death camps. And he came up with a theory called logotherapy and deals with existentialism. Google it if you want to. But basically that you're responsible for your behavior and your actions. And in that he said, what I have learned that people can take absolutely everything from you but one thing, the freedom to choose how you respond to what's being done to you. That's your one choice that you have in life. And I can't say I'm great at it. If we look here, there's a story of a 92-year-old, petite, well-poised, proud man. And he was always fully dressed by 7 o'clock in the morning. His hair was always combed and shaved perfectly. He was legally blind, and his family decided that at this time and at this age, they needed to move him to a nursing facility and a nursing home. His wife of 70 years had just recently passed away, and it made this move all the more powerful and needed. So after many hours as they took him and waiting in the lobby for several hours in the nursing home, he smiled sweetly when he was told his room was ready. And as he maneuvered his walker to the elevator, and they began to give him a description of what his tiny little room, much, much smaller than the house that he and his wife had formed a life in, were about. And they're in the elevator, and he begins to talk about it. And he said, I love it. I love it. And the person looked at him and he said, Mr. Jones, you haven't even seen the room. Why don't you just wait? And he said, that doesn't have anything to do with it. So what do you mean? He said, happiness is something you decide ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not does not depend on how the furniture is arranged or what's there. It's how I arrange it in my mind. You see, happiness is a choice, and I already decided before I got here today that I'm going to love it. It's a decision I make every morning when I wake up. I have a choice. I can spend the day in my bed recounting the difficulty with all the pains that my body has as it breaks down, or I can be thankful for the day that I have. You see, it's a choice that we make. And yes, there are horrific situations. And it doesn't mean that we're all going to smile at everything all the day, but it means it's a situation of our heart in our lives. It's a situation that we have and go every day. And that's why many people start in the morning with God to say, I got to start this off right. Many people start with a prayer that has been given by many. I remember when I was growing up, every pastor I think I heard began their sermons with this. May the words of my mouths and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. That's a prayer we can all start every day with. So that's the first thing. Make the choice every day. The second thing is, develop a great appreciation for life. Most non-Christians, when they look at Christians, they see us as having struggles, being out of touch, seriously miserable and gloomy people. You see, the lie that Satan has given us is that sinning is more fun than God. God is boring. Sins are fun. Unchurched people are fun. And Christianity is boring. Now, when I look at the scripture, I look at somebody who seemed to have the best choice and zest for life, and his name is the Apostle Paul, who really, next to Jesus, who seemed to have an appreciation for this life attitude. And look at what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's what he talks about himself. Sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. Is that the definition of glass half full, half empty? Half full, half empty. I was thinking about some people in my life. No matter what we deal with in life, there are several people. Some of you heard one story. Some of you don't know the other one. But one was my uncle. My uncle, who was a pastor, my uncle Benny Pittman, was a pastor. And he came down with cancer. Cancer was in his appendix. And when his appendix burst, it went throughout his entire body. Right? And here he had several children, had grandchildren. They were just starting to have young children. And in the midst of his dying, he made a choice to make an impact on others. In his dying, he lived for Jesus. In his dying, he played praise and worship music all the time and would worship God in the last breath that he had. In his dying, he called every one of his children in, laid hands on them, and gave them a blessing from God and from himself. He made a choice to, I remember going to the hospital and we were praying for him for healing and restoration. And he said, hey, I'm good. If God wants to get me up out of here, awesome. If not, then I'm going to be healed and I'm going to be with him. A different perspective of life. Another person that some of you know from Wave Chapel days, and others of you may have had no clue who it is, but I'm going to tell you, she's very important to this church. Her name is Flo Dixon. And Flo came down with cancer, fought it back and forth. I was a pastor down in Lewis at this time, but had been with her for 9 years. She was a lovely lady, was always walking around the neighborhood and anything around there. And she had this cancer that began to affect her life. She wanted me to do the funeral whenever that time came. And I went and met with her at her daughter and son-in-law's house. And as we sat and met, I was there to encourage and pray for her, and I realized that she was asking about me and encouraging me. And she said, hey, I know you want to start a church. I said, that's where I feel God's calling me to. She goes, well, I'm going to give you something that you're going to go ahead and start the church with. And to let you know, I'm not going to give you the amount, but she gave a large amount at that point that made this church possible. You've never even met her. You've never even talked to her. Some of you have, but some of you don't know who I'm talking about. But I can tell you, when I look back at people who came to this church and helped make it possible, Flo Dixon is one of those here today. There was another lady named Angel. I did a wedding for a family member. She heard what was happening, and I got a check, and I'm just going to say this because nobody knows this person, for $1,000 in the mail that said, here, this is to help start your church. Okay, you see, and I don't know what was going on in her life or what was going on. I do know what was going on in my uncle's, and I do know what was going on in Flo's life. They were dying, yet they chose at that situation to have a great appreciation for the life they had left. In the book, in chapter 11, Chris Hodges shares about his father-in-law, Billy Hornsby, who is a great pastor, and he said this statement as he was dying from melanoma. He said, the more you dread tomorrow, the more you lose today. So when you wake up in the morning and start thinking about tomorrow, tell yourself, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make today a great day. It's a choice that we have. It's what 1 Thessalonians, which I don't have on your bulletin or on the screen, says, give thanks in all circumstances, for it's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Everybody good? Number three, it's good. Is this ministering to anybody? Is anybody getting something out of this? All right. All right. So here we go. Number three, find something positive in everything. Now, I got to let you know, I'm going to toot my own horn. I'm pretty good at this one because I'm somebody in the most miserable situations. I will find fun. I will find something that will bring a laughter no matter where it is. You have to find it. Notice you have to find it. You have to look for it. You have to search for it. You have to find it in every single area. In every single area. I can think of time and time in my life. It doesn't mean we live happy, happy, joy, joy. It means even in the midst of our depression and our sorrow, we find something humorous. I remember when my grandmother died. We were sitting around the hospital in Dover. They were awesome. We pretty much like ruled the place. We took up rooms. They fed us. It was awesome at that point. And we were there with my grandmother as she was dying. And it came to the point where I went downstairs to get my computer. Jill was on the phone. My dad went home. And Mom was there with my grandmother and said, Mom, why don't you just go be with Jesus? It's okay. And it was in that moment that my grandmother passed on. And at that moment when she passed on, Jill called me. I came back upstairs and we were like there and we sat. And they turned the sound down on the machine. All right. So when they turned the sound down on the machine, here we are still sitting there. Talking and just kind of like taking it all in. And this young CNA or whatever, girl was coming in to check vitals. And she went over and I was sitting in a place where I could see her. My mom was here, Jill was here, Dad was here. And I'm looking and I see this girl go, sir, I'm sorry. But I said, oh, no, we know she passed. She goes, oh, okay. And she walked out, and we all started just breaking up laughing because we were this poor girl who may have been 18, 19 years old had to tell a room full of people who camped out like gypsies for days that their grandmother and mother had passed away. We found humor in the midst of that. We went to lunch, and we started laughing about things, and we were talking about how my grandmother would have loved to be part of that and would have laughed real big and hearty. Doesn't mean we were happy because I would give anything to have my grandmother back with me. I love that woman to death. But it means that I know she's not suffering, but I also know that in my heart of hearts, that God, the joy of the Lord is still my strength. All right? And so what we see here is it is about how our attitude approaches, that we find something positive in absolutely everything. In absolutely everything in life. If you're a person that lets stuff roll off, good. But if you're a person that lets stuff roll off and you keep it to yourself and you get angry with it, that's not good. It's like this girl. There was a girl named who one day she looked in the mirror and she found she only had 3 strands of hair left on her head. She said to herself, I'm going to braid my hair today. So she did, and she went out and had a great fun-filled day. The next day she woke up, she looked in the mirror, and she had 2 strands of hair on her head. And she said, today I'm going to part my hair down the middle. So she did, and she had a wonderful day. The next day she woke up and noticed that she had only 1 hair left. And she said, today, I'm going to put my hair in a ponytail. And she went out, and she had a wonderful day. The next day, she woke up and looked in the mirror, and she noticed she had no hair on her head. And she said, hooray, I don't have to fix my hair today, and went with a big smile on her face. Most of us would be like, where's my hair? Where's my hair? It's about the perspective that we choose and the attitude that we choose to take on life. That's why it says here in Philippians chapter 4, look at the first word that comes up here. What is it? Finally. Sometimes we just got to get through all our stuff and just go, okay, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and or praiseworthy, think about these things. Because what you put in your mind goes into your heart and is experienced in your life. I can tell if you're a miserable person, it's because you're miserable in your head and you're equally as miserable in your heart. It's your choice to be that way, ultimately. It's your choice to be the most miserable person on earth. And guess what? Here's a hint. Nobody likes being around you. Number four. This is the ultimate. Turn everything over to God. Turn everything over to God. No one can handle everything on their own. Tomorrow will bring problems. So give your worst day and offer it to Jesus. In that way, we learned about Jesus on the cross. He took his worst day and said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I can tell you, this world can be lonely. As a pastor, life can be lonely. When you try to handle things and situations for other people on your own, whether as a pastor or a father or as a husband or as a friend, none of us can handle anything alone. Nothing. If that was true, the example Jesus would have gave is that he would have come just down here by himself and said, here I am, take it or leave it. But he chose to have people surrounding him. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 basically says, don't be a nun. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That doesn't mean that the situation's good, not only good stuff. When we hear thanksgiving, we say, oh, thank you for the stuff we have. It's saying, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. That means those worst situations in your life, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God, here it is, and I'm thankful for you. Whatever the situation is, God, I'm just thankful for you. And the peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding. That verse is one of the most powerful verses. If we get it in our heads and get it in our hearts, our lives change and the attitudes change because we get it here. It doesn't mean that it's going to make sense. It doesn't mean that the situations make sense at all. Not one bit. But the peace of Christ in my heart will transcend all that stuff. It basically makes it so I don't care as much because I know God is in control and his peace is going to be with me. And then it says, that transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you leave and give your problem to Jesus, give it to God, the promise is peace. The promise is peace. That's why Jesus said, my peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. It is the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And in 1 Peter, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast means throw it out there. So in our 3 weeks so far, we've learned some principles. We've learned that you need to fall in love with Jesus. We've learned that you need to slow down. And Paul's great, but probably the best example is Jesus. And I want to draw your attention to this last verse as we close today's message. From Philippians chapter 2, that says, your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus, who being found in the very nature of God, he was God, is God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He became us, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, even becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Trust in him. So what do we need to do? Our third principle is this. Choose a Christ-like attitude. That sounds easy, doesn't it? Choose a Christ-like attitude. Come to him, give him your failures, and be transformed. I ask you to just stand as we pray today. God, some of us are here today and we have three strands of hair. And we're wondering where the rest went, and we're just lamenting over those three strands of hair rather than braiding them. Some of us have two, and we're embarrassed, and we're lost, and we don't know what to do. Some of us have one. We try to hide it. We get angry about it. We have fear about it. Rather than just saying, hey, I got a ponytail. And some of us are completely lost, God. Because the circumstances hit us. And God, I'm not going to minimize the circumstance because that is real. But I just pray that the peace of Christ that passes anything that they can think, all the whys and the hows and the pain and the sorrow and just the uncertainty. And God, I just ask that your peace, your love would just touch their hearts and their minds. That God, we won't just keep existing as we have been. That we'll be a church that speaks truth, but that we speak truth in love. That we become a loving people, that we get rid of all the uns in our lives. But more importantly, God, that we see you. That we recognize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you didn't consider yourself, hey, I'm God and I'm going to stay that way and you're going to deal with it. But you lowered yourself to experience everything that we did to give us the example of what we need to do. So God, help us to embrace that Christ-like attitude. Help us to come to you with all our faults and let's take all that stuff that we have and let's just chuck it at you. So you can say, hey, I got it. I got it. For those of us who are going through whatever we're going through, God, just I pray that you'll begin the restoration and the healing process. That as tears fall, as illness hits, as loss happens, that God, we will, before those things happen or even in the midst of them, we'll choose like the man who never saw the room that says, it's wonderful, I love it because I'm making a choice today of my heart. Help us to be transformed into the image to your image. Help us become what you want us to be. We love you, God, and we fail in that. We fail in our love for others. So God, as we ask for your presence today, we'll have some people up front praying for people, but if there's somebody right where you are just wants to make a commitment and just say, you know what, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't like that word. I don't know fully what it means, but it just means that I missed the mark of what you wanted for my life. My attitude stinks. My mind stinks. My heart stinks. People don't like being around me because I'm miserable. I don't want to live this way. I want that life and that fullness. That's you right where you are. Just, I don't even care if your hand's lifted. Just lift your hearts up. Say, God, just change me. Change my heart. Help me see love. Restore brokenness in my heart. God, hear my repentance and just lift me up. Give me a new place to stand. Help me from this life that I'm sinking in that I feel like I'm in quicksand and it's up to my neck. For those of us who may have made a commitment to Jesus in our lives and yet we've been on a pattern of hurt and whatever it may be, help us to just right now make that commitment to say, I am going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come what may, because I know the thief is not giving up. He's checking the windows and doors of my life. I know he wants to steal my joy, but I'm not going to let you, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So God, it's no mistake that when we talk about fruits of the Spirit, that the first three are love, joy, and peace. Give us those in life, God. Help us to display those when situations come that are unloving. Help us to deal with situations where there's pain, but we still have joy in the midst of the sorrow. And bring peace to our lives. We love you, God, and this time is yours with each individual. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Give you what I can today. These scattered ashes that I hid away, I lay it all at your feet. From the corners of my deepest shame, the empty places where I've worn your name, show me the love. I say I believe. Help me to lay it down. Oh Lord, I lay it down.
it's amazing because we often have songs and we put them down. Wayne had an idea of what I was going to talk about, just the first verse, but he had no idea that this song was perfect, right, to end the service, that lay it down, quit carrying that stuff, right? We run the race being weighted down, and then we'll put it down a little bit, and then we'll pick it back up, and then we'll run some more, or we'll be entangled by stuff that we have in life. The situation does not change unless we change it. God wants us, he says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you, remember last week, rest. We need rest, okay? We need rest. We need to seek God's face, okay? There are several of us going through lots of stuff in here. I can feel it, even people from there. Lay it down once and for all. Lay it down once and for all, okay? So if you need to do that, people are still around. People are still praying, and we want you to be able to do that. I also want to remind you, Wednesday night, if you want to come out and worship with us at Northeast United Methodist Church, it's a great opportunity just to connect midweek to worship the Lord. And honestly, I received my call to ministry at one of those meetings many, many years ago. So I'm excited about going there. On top of that, next week we're going to move to the next transition. And our next transition is Love is in the Air. Okay? You all want to sing it, I know. Love is in the air. All right. So we're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about worship next week. So get your worship hat on, get your worship hands on, your worship voice on, and we're going to worship God. But this week, our third principle, choose a Christ-like attitude and just get rid of the uns. All right? Look at somebody say, no more uns. Have a great week. God bless.